I'm going to turn again to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. And the Lord has really laid upon my heart a very well-known Gospel verse for this meeting tonight. I'm sure a verse that is maybe familiar to most, if not all of you, in this gathering this evening. And it is the verse number 7 of John's Gospel, chapter number 3. I read that verse with you again. It says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." We'll just have a wee word of prayer as we come to the ministry of God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy presence with us already. We thank thee for the singing of thy praises, the messages and song that have been played, the hymns. We thank thee for the reading of your word. Lord, as we come now to consider thy word, draw very near. Give help and power and grace and enablement to preach your word. And Father, may the word of the Lord go forth with power, with blessing, indeed with great grace to every heart, to every soul in this meeting place tonight. For we ask it all in the Lord's great name. Amen. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. As you and I read through our Bibles, read through the word of God, you read of different children being born into this world and being born into the scene of time. The most important of all births that the Bible tells us about is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ at Bethlehem. You remember the shepherds who were on the hills of Judea, and they heard the angel speaking to them about the birth of Christ. The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." But as well as telling us about physical births, the Bible also speaks to you and I about the spiritual birth. And when we talk about the spiritual birth, we are talking about the new birth. We are talking about that which the Bible describes as being born again. And you and I read of this vital matter here in our text tonight, this great text in John 3, verse 7, where Jesus says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." This chapter here before us tells us about a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he comes to see the Lord Jesus Christ by night. He'd heard about him. Maybe because of the fear of man, he would only come to see him at night. And we're told that Nicodemus, yes, was a religious man. He was a very moral man, an upright man. He would have been a man of wealth in his day, a man who was very well educated in his day as well. And in conversation with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks these words to him. And verse number 7 of John chapter 3, when he says to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." This was the message that the Lord set before this man Nicodemus one night long ago. And the chapter tells us how, despite his religion, and he would have been well versed in the Old Testament scriptures, despite his education and no doubt understanding of natural things, Nicodemus was a man who did not understand what it meant to be born again. And you see that from the conversation that he has with the Lord Jesus. For in verse number 9 of the chapter, he says to Nicodemus, "How can these things be?" In other words, how can a person be born again? Again, look at what he says in the early part of the chapter in verse number 4. He says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He could not understand what this new birth was all about and what it meant. And my, this was all due to his sin, all due to the blindness of his heart. But you know, in mercy, the Lord does not leave him in his sin. The Lord is gracious to him. He is merciful to him. And the Lord seeks to show him what it means to be born again. The Lord seeks to enlighten his mind in the knowledge of this great truth, of what it meant to have the new birth and to be born again. And friends, tonight in this gospel open air service, it's this all-important subject of the new birth that I want you and I also tonight to consider. Our verse says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Three things I want you to notice very plainly and simply tonight regarding this great truth. And first of all, it is the miracle of the new birth. And when you and I think about the miracle of the new birth, we must think of its divinity, that it is divine, it is of God. For Jesus says here to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And that little statement there, born again, literally means born from above, born, as it were, of heaven. You see, the new birth, yes, it refers to the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in the heart of sinful man. Notice how Christ tells that to Nicodemus at the end of verse 8 of the chapter, for he says, "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And the Spirit there refers to the Holy Spirit of God. Friends, the new birth is divine. It is of God. It is something that originates from heaven itself. Friend, understand tonight in this gospel open-air meeting that you and I, we can only be born again by the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and working in our lives. You see, by nature, you and I, we are dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and in sins. My, because of our sin, the Bible says, we are condemned already to a lost eternity in hell itself. Yes, because of our sin, by nature and practice, the Bible says that you and I are without strength. What does that mean? It really means that there's nothing in ourselves, nothing in man, nothing in this world that can merit the new birth. Understand that tonight. You are not born again by your self-righteousness. You are not born again by self-reformation, by, as it were, simply turning over a new leaf in your life. You are not born again by your good works, no matter how good your works may be. You're not born again by church membership. You're not born again through baptism or dedication as a child. You're not born again by sitting at the Lord's table or by confirmation or by any religious rite or ceremony of this world. You cannot be born again by paying for it with your money. You cannot be born again through blood ties or through family ties, no. Friend, in this open-air gospel meeting tonight, understand this, that if you are to be truly born again, then the new birth must be wrought in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God. As we think of the miracle of the new birth, yes, see, it is divine, see its divinity. But we can also say further tonight, as we think of the miracle of the new birth, we can think also of a suddenness. Look at what Jesus says to Nicodemus in verse 8 of the chapter. He says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Here in conversation with this man Nicodemus, here Christ, he likens the new birth experience unto a wind. A wind that can come very suddenly. My, what was the Lord telling Nicodemus here? He was telling him, just as the wind can come in a moment of time, so a person can be born again suddenly in a moment of time. Yes, friend, in this gospel open air service tonight, yes, you can be born again of the Spirit of God in a moment of time. Yes, we can say that in a moment of time, your life can be changed. In a moment of time, your life can be transformed by the power of God. Indeed, that is why the hymn writer could say, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Their life was changed by God's power in a moment of time. And my, that's how it was with the Apostle Paul, whom we know as Saul of Tarsus. On the road to Damascus, his life was changed in a moment of time. His life was transformed. And he testifies of that in his letter to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. He says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And there Paul is telling us how his life was changed. It was transformed by the power of God in a moment of time. Dear friend, the message of the gospel tonight is this, that suddenly by the new birth, God can change your life. He can turn your life around. He can enable you to live for God and live for the honor and the glory of God. Yes, the new birth is divine. The new birth is something that happens suddenly in a moment of time. But as we think further about the miracle of the new birth, we must also think about its eternality. In other words, whenever a person is born again, they are born again forever. It's an eternal work in the heart of man. Think of how a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. It never reverses, it never goes back. And likewise, when a person is born again, they are born again forever. They have eternal life. They are saved from hell. They are sure of God's heaven, eternal life forevermore. Peter the Apostle speaks of this in his letter in 1 Peter. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." He was speaking there to those who are begotten again of a lively hope, who are born again, and he tells them that they had a place in heaven, they had everlasting life, a place in heaven forevermore. The psalmist David was a man who was born again, and he could look forward to heaven. He could say in Psalm 16, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Dear friend, praise God, when you are born again, you're saved forever from a lost eternity in hell. This is the blessing of the new birth. Saved forever from a lost eternity in hell. Praise God, you're sure of being in heaven one day forever and ever, where there is eternal life, where life never ends. Oh, see the great blessing of what it means to be born again. Yes, the miracle of the new birth. Has that miracle taken place in your heart tonight? Can you say yes? That miracle has taken place in my heart. But then secondly, I want you to think here also about the must of the new birth. You see, a man must be born again if he is to enter heaven. Notice how Christ emphasizes this to Nicodemus in verse 3 of the chapter. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And there the Lord made it very clear to Nicodemus that he must be born again to enter heaven. Again, he utters that same truth in verse 5. When he says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Important to say there that the mention of water there is not literal water as in baptism, no. It's but a figure of speech that the Lord Jesus Christ here uses to describe the soul of man that is cleansed by the blood of Christ, that is renewed by the power of the Holy Ghost in the new birth. Then again in our text, the Lord says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." The Lord emphasized this point here to Nicodemus, that he must be born again to be in heaven. And the truth of the matter is this, if Nicodemus was not born again, he would never enter heaven. Despite his religion, despite his good works, despite his education and all the things that he had going for him in the sight of man, so to speak. You see, because of his sin by nature and practice, he was a man who was condemned already to eternal punishment and hell for a sin. Look at verse 18 of the chapter. Christ says there, "But he that believeth not is condemned already." Because of his sin, Nicodemus was condemned already to a lost eternity. Look at the very last verse of this great chapter, verse 36. It says, "He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The wrath of God was abiding upon Nicodemus because of his sin before a holy God. And if Nicodemus was not born again, he would never see heaven, never enter heaven, never be in God's heaven. And friend, can I say it is the same of you also in this gospel meeting tonight? If you are not born again, you will never see heaven. You will never enter heaven. You'll never be in heaven. Sometimes a child, a son or a daughter, inherits their father's farm or their father's estate. Because why? They're born into that family. They are the child of the father. And likewise, if you are to inherit heaven, if you are to be saved from the wrath to come, as it says in our text tonight, ye must be born again. My, if you're not born again, yes, when you come to die, you'll perish. Your soul will be lost in hell forever. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men." There are many things in life you need, important things for your day-to-day living. But this is the greatest of all your needs. The greatest must in your life is that you must be born again if you're to enter heaven and see God's heaven one day. Yes, a person must be born again to enter heaven. We can say something else further regarding this matter, that this must of the new birth is a universal must. For in verse 3 there, Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That phrase there, "a man," is a title used to speak of mankind in general, be he Jew, be he Gentile. In other words, whatever his background is, that man must be born again to see heaven. Why, you might ask? The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," because all are sinners. Therefore, all must be born again. George Whitefield was a famous preacher of a bygone day who preached the length and breadth of Britain, America as well, and so many converted to Christ. Preached all over the British Isles at that time, the same age as the Wesleys. And it is said that he preached upon this verse, verse 7 of John chapter 3, that he preached upon it for some 3,000 times and 3,000 separate occasions. He was once asked, "Why do you preach so much upon this little verse? You must be born again." And his answer was simply this: "Because ye must be born again." He knew that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, all must be born again if they are to see heaven and be saved from the wrath to come. And friend, tonight, no matter who you are in this gospel open-air meeting, no matter what your background is, you must be born again if you are to see heaven. Whatever church you may be affiliated to, whatever your religious background might be, whatever your standing might be in this community here in Enniskillen or further afield, ye must be born again. Why? Because there is none righteous, no, not one. My, at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we read about heaven. And this is what we read about heaven in Revelation 21, verse 27. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of an abomination or make of a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." What is John telling us there in that verse? That it is this, that no one will be in heaven who is not born again. Oh yes, a man must be born again if he is to be in heaven. This must, yes, it is a universal must that applies to all mankind, whatever our color, our creed, our class might be. Then we can say further that this must of the new birth, this is God's decree. This is what God says, because the Bible is God's word. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible before us is not the word of man. It's not the word of some church or some religious society. It's the word of God, the God of heaven. And here in John chapter 3, God speaks to you and I through his Son. And three times over, just in the space of a few verses, he tells you and I that we must be born again. This is God's decree. It's a decree that is sure. It's a decree that is settled forever in heaven by God himself. Sometimes you hear people talking about things in society and they'll say, oh, the goalposts move from one place to another. In this matter of the new birth, there's no moving, I tell you, of the goalposts. For this is God's decree. This is God's verdict upon mankind. Friend, understand this, that God, yes, is your maker. He's a God of love, a God who is all wise, who is gracious, who is holy, who is long-suffering, who is eternal, and he is the judge of all men. The Bible says every one of us shall give account of himself to God, and it is he, the creator of the universe, who says to you and I through his Son and through his word, he says you must be born again. I'm sure if the Queen of England or somebody high up in society were to speak to you and give you a command, I'm sure you'd listen, you'd take note. You'd be very, very slow, as it were, to turn away from that command, whatever it is. We know this command is far greater, for it is from him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man, woman, young person tonight, let me say this, if you are to be wise, wise for time and wise for eternity, then this, I tell you, is a decree that you must heed, that you must listen to, that you must hearken to and give time to, when Jesus Christ says you must be born again. Yes, the miracle of the new birth, the must of the new birth. One final thought tonight, and it is this, and it is the marks of the new birth. What are the marks of the new birth? But in conversation here with Nicodemus, you'll see that Christ mentions the word must on two separate occasions, and they're linked. You have it in verse number 7 when he says to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And then you have the same must down in verse 14 of the chapter when he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Those opening words there of verse number 14, they refer to an account, an incident in Israel's history when they were traveling from the bondage of Egypt to the promised land because of sin and rebellion against God. Poisonous snakes come into the camp of Israel and bit the people for their sin. And if the people were to be healed and saved, those that were bitten with the snake, they had to acknowledge their sin before the Lord and look. They had to look to a serpent of brass upon the pole. And when they looked in faith to God, to that serpent of brass upon the pole, God saved them. And you know that serpent of brass on the pole is a gospel picture. It's a picture of Christ and a substitutionary death upon the cross of Calvary. That's what Christ is telling Nicodemus here when he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And what do we read in our Bibles? We read of Christ, the Son of God, coming into this world and dying on the cross for our sins. He gave his life a ransom for many. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Friend, the message of the gospel is this: when you repent of your sin, acknowledge your state as a sinner before God, confess it to God, and trust in Christ. Trust in the blood shed upon the cross of Calvary for your salvation. Yes, God will forgive all your sins. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, God will save you, and he will give you eternal life and a home in God's heaven. Notice how Christ set that before Nicodemus in verse 16 of this great chapter. When he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What's the mark of a person who's born again? They realize their need as a sinner. They've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, as well as pardon for sin and eternal life and a home in heaven. The Holy Spirit dwells in their heart, and by the power and by the grace of God, their life is changed, turned away from sin and enabled to live for the glory of God. You see, the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Speaking of this change in his own life, the hymn writer says, "Once evil led me, but now God reigns. His wondrous grace has rescued me." That's the marks of the new birth, a life that has changed. A person who acknowledged their need as a sinner before God, a person who comes in faith and in repentance unto the Lord and trusts in Christ, trusts in the blood of Christ shed at Calvary to wash away their sin, to make them right with God, and to fit them for heaven. Friend, tonight let me ask you the question, and the question is this: have you repented of your sin before God? Have you taken the place as a sinner before the Lord? Have you trusted in Christ alone for salvation? Is there that desire within your heart to live to the glory of God? This is the mark of the new birth. The Lord says to those who are born again, "A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes." Is that your testimony tonight, dear friend? You think of the hands of a clock. I'm sure we all have clocks on our mantelpieces in our homes. You know, the hands of the clock will only move in the right direction at the right time if the heart of the clock is right. If there's something wrong in the mechanism, something wrong in the heart of the clock will either be too fast or too slow, or maybe not going at all. And friend, your life can only be right with God if you are born again of the Spirit of God. If you've come as a sinner to Christ and trusted in him and are resting upon him alone for salvation. This is how it was with this man Nicodemus. He was a man who was born again. How do we know that? There's proof in the scriptures. At the end of John chapter 7, you read of him standing up for the Lord. In the latter part of John chapter 19, you read of him being bold and courageous and helping out with the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's now publicly identified with Jesus Christ. This is the man who earlier on was afraid to be seen in the company of the Lord Jesus, who came to see him at night. But now his life has changed. Why? Because he has been born again. He's a man who has repented of his sins. Man who has put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Tell me tonight, dear friend, is it your desire to be born again? To have your sins forgiven? To have the fetters of sin broken in your life? To be saved from hell and to be ready for heaven? Then this night, repent of your sin. Look by faith to Christ alone. And trust him as your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Christ says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Friend, if you are to be wise tonight, flee to Christ and trust him as your own and personal Savior, like this man Nicodemus did many years ago.